Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are presented today by SeatGeek, the best way to buy and sell tickets online. Make sure you enter the promo code LOBULLS in the free SeatGeek app, and you'll get $20 back when you make your first purchase. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, TuneIn, pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Locked On Bulls. Email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And so the Bears had kind of a tough loss against the Texans yesterday. Make sure you're caught up on Locked On Bears, hosted by Arthur Arkush. I'm Sean Hyken of NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, the Bulls announced their training camp schedule today.
Basketball.
Hard Bulls news. Hard Bulls news.
We were light on Hard Bulls news until, I think, 5.06 p.m. email, just in time into our inbox to let you know that Media Day is officially now scheduled.
Shout out Kristen Deal for that email.
2 weeks from today, September 26th. More importantly, the Bulls start practice the next day, September 27th, and there are 5 2-a-day practices already on the schedule to open up year two of the Fred Hoiberg era. And I was thinking,
We had an interesting stroke of genius.
What the heck are we going to talk about? And the stroke of genius was over-unders, of course, because I looked at that email. 5 practices, 2-a-day scheduled for the Bulls. Reminded me last year, they didn't really have many of those. There was a bunch of them on the schedule.
Some of them definitely got called off.
Yeah, like, it was like they had one or two of them, and then they all got called off, and they only had one a days, which is traditional, too. And everyone's like, ooh, Fred Hoiberg, the player's coach, he's already
right, that was how, that was the narrative about, you know, Tom Thibodeau would never call off a two a day.
If nothing else, we're keeping you caught up on the narratives on this podcast.
That's what we're here for.
And last year, that was the narrative. Obviously, the year didn't go quite as the Bulls hoped.
No.
So I thought, how many of those two-a-days are the Bulls going to have? And I thought to myself, maybe 3?
We're going
to
just do some
4?
Over. We're just going to do some over-unders here.
What do you got? Over-under 3.5 two-a-day practices for the Bulls. Sean, does Fred Hoiberg take a departure from last year when he went easier in training camp? Is he trying to send a message? Are they really going to go two-a-days 5 times?
I'm going to go over 3.5. I think they're going to do 4. I think he's going to cancel one of them.
Okay.
But I think he's going to actually make a concerted effort to do more two-a-days just to send the message, like you said. Because you remember the whole thing, the whole narrative on the Bulls season shifted last year in December when Jimmy told reporters that Fred needs to coach the team harder. I think Fred is going to try to set the tone early in camp. We'll see how long it lasts into the season, but if Fred, you know, wants to just show, hey, I'm not a pushover, I'm not just going to like let these guys off easy, a great way to do that would be to not just cancel the two-a-days that are on the schedule. So I think I'm going to go over.
You think Fred's going to, like, run Jimmy into the ground there on wind sprints early in practice, send that message, have two-a-days at least 4 times?
I think they're going to at least put up appearances.
I got the under.
Okay.
I'm going 3. I think it'll be more than last year, but I think a lot.
How many were there last year, 3 or 2?
It was under 3.5. I know that. We'd have to go back and read a lot of literature to find out that answer. But, I mean, it's not uncommon even for Tibbs to, like, cancel one of those or maybe 2.
Right.
But I do think that the Bulls, they need the practice time with these guys.
Like, they do.
We got a lot of new fresh faces in Chicago to watch on the basketball court, and they got to figure it out. And I don't think they can go out canceling 2-hour practices, even if it's just to get in there and run through more things offensively. But that is important. I think it'll be a little bit harder of a training camp just because the season they're coming off. But that did spawn the great idea. Why not just do a whole segment of over and unders, a whole episode of over and under.
We're just going to do some over unders. Just by the way, just as a reminder for a programming note, we have a couple of crossover episodes coming this week with other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. We've got, I think we've got one with the Cavs, one with the Heat, one with the Knicks.
So we can do Derrick Rose over-unders maybe later.
So we'll do some of those, but then we'll also, on Thursday, remember, bold predictions. Send us them.
Yes.
We've gotten a couple on email and Twitter. Keep them coming. We will use the best ones in the show on Thursday.
I know over and under's a little bit, not exactly like bold predictions, obviously, but kind of same talking points. But these are reasonable questions, bold predictions. Obviously going out on a limb, at times maybe sure. A weak branch on the tree. We put a lot more time into bold predictions. These over unders off the top of our head. Sean,
we came up with this in about 5 minutes.
Dwayne Wade, games played this year, 64.5. He played 74 last year for the Heat. And he played 62 the year prior. What do you think about this year?
I'm going to go over, but just barely. I think he's going to play 65.
Wow. I almost put it right on the dot for what you were thinking then. And we'll let you know, I drew up most all of these. Sean isn't even aware of some
That's
of
right.
them.
That's right. Like, I suggested some of them, but like most of them I'm hearing for the first time.
Yeah, if you sense Sean's brain churning, it's probably because it is. 65, so that would be 17 games off. That would suggest the Bulls rest him on some back-to-backs.
Yeah.
That would also suggest being cautious anytime he feels a little bit of knee pain, soreness of any sort. But that also suggests no major injury for Dwayne Wade next season.
Right, and I mean, you never know what's going to happen. There's going to be some kind of fluke injury, obviously, that goes on. But, you know, you can't really predict that kind of stuff. But I think they're going to be cautious enough that they're not going to overextend him. I think 65, you know what, I'm going to go under.
What? You're flip-flopping in the middle of the podcast. I guess you get this right since I gave you late notice here. Now you're going to, you're talking to yourself out of it?
I think it's going to be in the 60s, but I think it's going to be in the low 60s.
Okay, I'm going to go over. I'm with you at the start. I think it'll be closer to 70.
Oh, wow.
I think there will be a lot of back-to-backs he takes off, but I guess it's almost entering bold prediction territory, but I think Dwayne Wade's going to come somewhere around 70 games, upper 60s, 70s, and be a regular, stalwart in the lineup for the Bulls. A guy they count on.
You have to keep in mind, though, with Wade, he played 74 games last season, and that was the most games he played since 2010-11, the first year of the Big Three in Miami. Do you think...
So you're calling me crazy?
No, I'm not calling you crazy. I'm just saying I think there's reason for skepticism that he's going to play that many games again. I think 70 is pushing it. Anywhere in the mid, low to mid 60s, I think, is reasonable. I'm going to go like 62, maybe.
Okay. Sean has talked himself out of the over.
I have.
Back into the under, and we'll allow it. Assists per game for Rajon Rondo. He averaged 11.7 for the Kings last year. I have set the line at 9.9. I know that's a little dip from the average last year. I think it's a fairly reasonable line to set, considering I made this up in 30 seconds, and I just don't think the Bulls are going to be as prolific scoring as the Kings did in some blowouts last year. We got some easy dimes. Sean, over or under, Rondo, 9.9 assists per game.
See, I'm going to go the other way. I think he is going to average double digits. I'm going to go over because I think he averaged as many assists per game as he did in Sacramento last year. Who do they have on that team that can score besides DeMarcus Cousins for him to throw the ball to? The Bulls have Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. And if Nico Mirotic gets some open threes, he's going to be able to kick it out to him for some open threes, kick it out to Doug McDermott for some open threes. Robin Lopez is going to get a lot of easy ones around the basket. You know Rondo loves to pad his assist numbers. He's going to look for every opportunity. And this Bulls roster is a lot more talented than the Kings were last year in terms of how many guys on the team can score. How well their offense will actually play together and how well these pieces will fit together is a different question, but I think in terms of Rondo's counting stats, I think they're going to be high again. I'm going to go over.
That's interesting because I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I think he'll have a significant uptick from what Derrick Rose averaged, but you have to think, like, the way that Bulls offense functioned last year, Derrick Rose was always acting like there's no reason he shouldn't get, like, what, 8 assists per game?
He said, then, I'm pretty sure he said
yeah,
that, like,
and he never came close, really. It's always, like, the 5 range, so, like, that's a lot more assists. We're talking 4 and a half assists more out of the point guard for the Bulls to average on a nightly basis, and I know they're different players where Rose attacks the hoop and finishes in the past, and it was year one of the offense, but that's still a huge uptick. I think the offense could look much better, and Rondo can play well and still end up around 8.5, 9 range in there. But so for that reason, I'm going to take the under. It will be a fascinating storyline to watch because if anything about Rondo, you're going to love his passing ability to what he brings to the
floor.
And
he's going to make sure you see it.
It will be flashy passing. So that will be very interesting to watch. But another over-under, Sean.
What is that?
How many games do you think most of our listeners are going to get to this year for the Bulls?
Well, that depends on how easy of a time they have buying and selling tickets online or on their phones.
Well, it should be pretty easy as long as you go through SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets to the games you know and love and want to go to. See the up-close personal experiences along the sideline. You can go to the upper deck, get the vendor vibe up there, get your popcorn and everything. But SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way to shop for tickets. Just download the SeatGeek app. It can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, you can instantly find seats for the weekend, any game in the season, late notice, early notice, whatever you want. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek always has the lowest prices available. The great thing about it is it's value-based. You get a deal score. You know where the deal is, whether that's lower bowl, upper bowl, anywhere on the floor in the arena. But plus, every ticket on SeatGeek, 100% guaranteed. And you can get a $20 rebate. And all you have to do is listen to our podcast, download the SeatGeek app, go to settings, and click add promo code. Put L-O Bowls.
L-O Bowls.
L-O-B-U-L-L-S. In the promo code tab, and you will get $20 rebate on your purchase. SeatGeek, the easiest way to buy and sell tickets online. Next, over-under. Kind of a serious one here, too. But in-season trades from media day until the Bulls play their final game of the season, 1.5. Last year, I believe, off the top of my head, one trade. The Kirk Heinrich trade. This year, you go on over or under 1.5.
Oh, God. I don't know how this is even a question. This is the biggest lock of the entire list. I haven't seen the list, but I mean, I don't...
You're that confident.
Absolutely. I think it's under. You could give me the over under as 0.5, and I would take the under.
But you
would
have lost that last year, and you were on record as saying, I mean, we've referenced many times, I should say, on the podcast that the Taj Gibson trade is very possible.
That's the only one.
This season.
It's the only one.
So that's why you're drawing the line in the sand, because you can't see any moves after that. I did say trade, so you could have more Bulls in the move, but I mean separate deals. 1.5 separate deals, and you're going under?
I'm definitely going under. I don't know about what...
I tend to agree on the under as well. I mean, the only way I see that upset is if there's like a minor trade of the 15th man or something, kind of like the offseason.
A team makes a really strong offer for Paul Zipser.
No, they got to be invested in Paul Zipser. That 48th overall pick or whatever it was in the second round on him. And
well, I mean, maybe the season falls apart and they decide they're going to sell high on Jimmy Butler, but I don't really see that happening.
Yeah, that'd be shocking to me after... Because to run it back with this, with Dwayne Wade, Rondo, like, you invested in next year, so I think you want to see the season
right
work and give it a chance. And I know you got, what, 50-some games before the All-Star break, but still, I think they'll look at it for an entire season. So I'm going to go under as well, but, I mean, we like trade rumors, and we know podcast listeners and the internet loves trade rumors.
We like trade rumors as long as they're realistic. I've gotten so many people send us questions on Twitter, like, hey, have you heard these rumors about the Bulls going after DeMarcus Cousins? And it's like, well, no, that's not a thing.
Well, the Bulls wish it was a thing.
Right.
The Kings, they have a new coach, Dave Yeager.
The Bulls also have nothing to trade.
Smart coach. They're going to make a run at that this season, too, as far as investing in Yeager and Cousins.
The Bulls also have nothing to trade in any of these kinds of blockbuster deals.
Yeah, very true, other than Jimmy, and they're invested in Jimmy right now.
For now.
Speaking of Jimmy, lighthearted, over-under.
Okay.
Number of NFL jerseys, different NFL jerseys, Jimmy Butler sports during the season, player-wise. So I know
we've got two. We've got Denarius Thomas, and we've got Antonio Brown.
And I know... He has like 12 different versions of Demaryius Thomas Broncos jerseys, but I mean different players.
Different players. So is there going to be a third one?
So does Jimmy inherit a third NFL friend he absolutely loves during the season?
And who? Well, I think there will be one.
Well, if the Bears rebounded and got really good again, you know he'd want to show up at Bears games and, you know, sport some Chicago Bears jerseys. I don't know who exactly it would be.
Well, unless he's trying to send a message that he wants to be traded. No. Then maybe he'll, like, wear a Patriots jersey or something.
I don't think...
You think Jimmy's a Gronk guy, or is he a Julian Edelman guy?
That's a good question. Who would he hang out with in New England? Well, New England's the one that trotted out Tom Brady for Kevin Durant's Celtics presentation.
That is true.
So to me, Jimmy Garoppolo is the most attached NBA connection.
Well, right, but also...
And he has a lot of time off. 4 games being suspended, 3 more here. So, I mean, if it was going to happen with the Patriots, it would happen quick.
Well, okay, so how about this, though? What about Jimmy Garoppolo? They're both named Jimmy, so they have something in common, and...
Eastern Illinois connection.
Well, there's that, too. And you kind of think about when Jimmy Butler's rise occurred.
Oh.
Was when Derrick Rose was out with injuries and Jimmy kind of stepped up and became the guy. Jimmy Garoppolo looked pretty good last night in the Patriots win over the Cardinals. If he becomes like the new
same story
Patriots quarterback, you can say, okay, he kind of emerged while Tom Brady was suspended. And by the way, if you want the inside scoop on everything about the NFL, make sure you check out the Locked On NFL podcast, the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast, and on a more local note, Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush.
I think I got the over on this. I think we'll see Demaryius Thomas. I think we'll see Antonio Brown jersey. And, you know, Jimmy's kind of spontaneous, a little bit of a goofball sometimes. I think we're going to walk in there, and he's sporting a totally random NFL jersey. So I got the over.
Like Odell Beckham or something.
Something like that. Bobby Portis, third perfect person references per media session this year.
Over.
1.5. I didn't even give you an
there's nothing. You can make it 10, and I would take the over. Here's another one. Number of overall push-ups Bobby Portis is going to make his friends do for losing to him at bowling.
Thousands and thousands
you could,
and
there,
thousands.
Again, there's literally no number you could give me where I wouldn't take
the
over.
For some of these podcast listeners, we should probably give them some background on Bobby Portis. I don't think we've mentioned his third person referencing a whole lot, but he got drafted, and I believe at his introductory press conference, and we realized soon after in his media availabilities, he liked to say that Bobby Portis is going to work really hard, and Bobby Portis doesn't stop till he gets the job done. Stuff like that.
And
we all got a kick out of
and
it.
And when he's on the court, he misses out a rebound, and he yells, "Get that BP!"
Yep, so we'll count BP references, too. So you got the over. I guess I set that line probably way too low. But, I mean, that's true. He's really good at dropping, like, 3 of those references in a minute. So that's probably the over. And if you think Bobby Portis is going to be a more of a difference maker for the Bulls this year, that's just more media sessions, more time with the media per session, more opportunity. You think he gets more opportunity because of his play on the court, Sean?
I think he will. I think he'll certainly get opportunities. The Bulls' front court is so much less crowded last year or this year than it was last year because Pau Gasol's gone, Joakim Noah's gone. We don't know, again, what's going to happen with Taj at the trade deadline, but he's basically competing for minutes with Mirotić and
Taj
and Robin Lopez.
Yeah, and Felicio is in that mix, but he's
but
a center
guy. Yeah, but I think
yep.
Portis is probably ahead of Felicio in the rotation.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, the Bulls won't be afraid to go a little smaller. I mean, they could have Lopez and Felicio both off the court and play Bobby with Nico or something like that, or Bobby with Taj. So there's that opportunity for him to get center minutes. I mean, the Bulls have referenced before that he could get center minutes in the future. So that's in play as well. Bulls defensive rating this year at season's end, and I should say ranking within defensive rating. So
okay. How
efficient will the Bulls defense be compared to the rest of the league? 14.5 in the league, if you can add a TH at the end of a decimal. Last year they were 15th in the NBA in defensive efficiency, so set the line right near that. What do you think, Sean?
If I say over
as in being like first in the NBA, best at it. Let's say that. Like college football.
Okay.
Polls.
So over means they're better, under means they're worse. I'm gonna go under.
You're going under, so you think the defense takes a step back?
I do.
Why?
Just the personnel I just don't see. I mean, outside, and we've talked about this in the past, but outside of Jimmy Butler, Robin Lopez, and Taj Gibson, like, they really don't have much in the way of personnel that's really defensive-minded. You know, even last year with, once Joakim Noah went out, their defense just kind of fell off a cliff. And I don't see them being an elite defensive team. I mean, I think around middle of the pack. I don't think they'll be drastically worse than they were last year, but I think somewhere in the mid-teens is reasonable.
Yeah, I think this entire question and answer to that would revolve around how good is Robin Lopez defensively?
Yeah.
Can he play 30, 32? Is that realistic minutes for him? Solid every night on the defensive end and expend a lot of effort and energy making up for maybe deficiencies elsewhere, just kind of anchoring the paint, playing better pick and roll defense. If they can do that, they have a chance to. I just don't see that happening for 82 games over the course of the entire season. Him staying healthy every game, not getting tired, foul trouble, stuff like that. I just think there will be a little bit of wear and tear there. And I would say, too, 16th, 18th range.
So
I think
it'll be the under also.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I think that it'll be that range again. Just maybe a slight defensive step backward, which if they get it together offensively, the Bulls can more than make up for that or rise, but that, I think, is the focus this year offensively, which we have referenced before. Here we go. You'll like this one.
Okay.
Jerry Reinsdorf, official statements throughout the course of the season. Press release comments from Jerry Reinsdorf.
Newly minted Hall of Famer Jerry Reinsdorf, by the way.
Congratulations again. He was inducted on Friday, I believe, after he had his media availability Thursday. We touched on that in the last podcast, which you can find in the archives on iTunes.
Make sure you leave us a 5-star review, by the way.
But Jerry Reinsdorf, the Hall of Fame, obviously, ceremony gave him a chance to speak to the media. Big event, great honor. A lot of Bulls members that went there read that Gar Foreman, John Paxton, Tom Thibodeau was there in part for his support for Yao Ming, but also, I mean, he still has respect for Jerry Reinsdorf. Mm-hmm. A lot of front office members, friends of Jerry Reinsdorf, Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson there as well. But last year, I believe he had one official comment, and that was saying he was disappointed at season's end, like 20 minutes after the buzzer ended. And I guess the crux of this would be, if he's releasing statements, something's probably going poorly.
I'm going to guess under.
You got, maybe I should set the
What's
line.
What's the under?
It's 1.5, so you got under. 0 or 1.
I think 1 is the maximum.
One at max. Yeah, I do too. He might think if they had a big trade sometimes.
If Derek were still on the team and something happened with his court case, then there might be a statement about that, but he's not, so.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I think it'll be a fairly normal season. Obviously, if it goes really downhill and you fire a coach, that's when that stuff happens. Fred Hoiberg.
I think Fred's pretty safe
right now. As long as
if I'm going to spoil one of my bold, I'm going to spoil one of my bold predictions. I think that
spoiler alert.
I think no matter what happens, Fred is going to make it through the year. He's not going to get fired midseason.
I like that. I think that's a reasonable bold prediction. Just as far as something that there's some question to it. Obviously,
he signed a 5-year deal.
A good statement there. Obviously, the Bulls just come out and play good basketball. Fred's fine.
Right.
They're going to give him time.
I think they're going to give him at least one whole season with a new roster.
Yeah, it would have to be absolutely disastrous, I think. But we know that coaches are hired to be fired.
Absolutely.
Hired to sit at home for a year and sometimes collect money as well from NBA teams.
Yep. Isn't Mike Brown still getting paid by like two different... I think the Lakers and the Cavs are both still paying Mike Brown.
It was someone in the New York media.
Because he signed like a 5-year deal with both of them.
There was a John Calipari story or something. Maybe it was... Did Cal have ties to two NBA teams?
Well, he was with the Nets.
There was a famous story in some New York media outlet that got retweeted like a couple months ago where the team was paying the coach, or the coach was coaching for one team and getting paid by both somehow, which was just like spectacular. And I believe the Nets were involved or something. This is like 15, 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
But I think that's how crazy the coaching carousel can be. And it's never been more of a spin right now, more turnover than this era in the NBA. I like this one. Jimmy Butler points per game this upcoming season. 20.5 points per game.
For context,
he averaged 20.9 last year and 20.0 on the dot the season before, which would have been his most improved year, Tom Thibodeau's last year. Dwayne Wade gets added to the mix. We know he's a scorer. Add Rajon Rondo to the mix. We know he's a brilliant passer that can open up opportunity for Jimmy, but is also going to take ball time from Jimmy as far as pounding the rock. So over under 20.5 points per game.
I'm going to go over.
Over.
I think he is going to be more efficient because he's going to have more offensive talent around him.
More efficient, close to the same number of touches.
And I think Rondo also knows that he's got to get Jimmy the ball and get Jimmy some shots.
Basketball politics.
I think Rondo, the thing about Rondo, he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, but he's not a scorer. He never looks for his own offense. He's always out here trying to, again, get his assist numbers up.
How many breakaways can the Bulls have per game in which Rondo's ahead of the pack and waits for Jimmy and passes it off for a dunk? That's the key question here.
I think there's going to be a lot of those, and I also think that with, you know, the Wade stuff, you know, if he misses it, you know, 15, 20 games, if they sit him out or they're cautious, then, you know, that's not going to interfere as much. I think 21, 22, maybe 23 at the high end is reasonable average for Jimmy. 23
is a lot of points per game. I mean, there's usually only around, I think the last couple of years, 15 to 20 guys, I'd have to look it up exactly, who average 20 points a game. That 23 mark is a pretty big deal. I mean, that's top 10 in the NBA in scoring. I don't see it going that high. I'm actually going to go under on this one. I just think that Jimmy's going to take a little bit of a step back, scaling back offensively in terms of touches. I think he'll be okay with it because I think he'll see the benefit of having Dwayne Wade just taking some of the burden and responsibility off of him. And I think there is an effect, although Rondo will be looking for Jimmy. Jimmy just had the ball in his hands so much last year because he kind of had to. You know what I mean? It felt like. Especially late in the season when he took on more of that role as primary ball handler and such. So I think Jimmy goes around 20 points again, not quite 20.5. So nothing earth-shattering there, I don't think. But next one, we'll start wrapping it up here. But Gar Forman references at Media Day to the Bulls getting younger and more athletic. 3.5. And this can be in any setting. So formally at the podium, if people get him in a scrum, kind of off the podium after he's
TV
done.
TV stuff.
Well, I guess if we include all the TV stuff, it's probably going to end up being over.
I'm going to take under. I think it's going to be 3 on the dot.
So you think Gar's just going to say it once or twice, kind of 3 times there in his opening statement, maybe reference it later and then scale back? Because the Bulls did get younger. That is a fact. It was offset a little bit and just confused people a little bit. Because they also added 2 older guys in Rondo and Wade.
Both guys are going to be playing a ton of minutes and have the ball in their hands a lot.
So the just kind of doling those minutes out, they're going to go to the older guys. But the Bulls did, in fact, get younger when you had guys like Jaren Grant.
Paul Zipser.
Denzel Valentine.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
And such. I got to think about this. He usually references it a lot. And this is about as trivial as it gets, but I'm going to go over. What the heck?
Sure.
Why not? We're going to get all the talking points at Media Day in 2 weeks. So I'm sure we'll get plenty of references to that. And I mean, I'm interested. It's a fair point for Gar. They wanted to get younger. They did get younger toward the bottom of the roster. And now the spotlight's kind of on Fred Hoiberg and his coaching staff to develop those guys.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see what plays out. But I mean, I think a guy like Jaren Grant is a good player for the Bulls to acquire, but there's a large learning curve just for his development. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he could not have a big role this year in any regard, but still be a good acquisition for Gar Forman and the Bulls down the line. It's just going to be hard to see some of the immediate, I think, feedback and to render a judgment on some of these young guys like that. But we'll keep an eye on that. And as Sean referenced earlier, as we talked about, send your bold predictions. I mean, I don't care how bold it is, you know? Go for it.
You can
really
say that
bold.
You can say that the Bulls are going to fire Fred Hoiberg and hire Phil Jackson midseason if you want to. You can say that
You can say that? That would be really bold. We're working on those. Email those to us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. If it's a really short bold prediction, throw it at us on Twitter, @lockedonbulls, @CodyWesterlin, @Hyken. As always, follow us on Twitter and follow us on iTunes. Leave a review.
5 stars.
Find us on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, everywhere else you can find podcasts. That's pretty much where we're at on Audio Boom as well.
Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring today's episode. Make sure you use the promo code LOBULLS in the SeatGeek app. When you make your first purchase, you'll get a $20 rebate.
And until next time, thanks for listening and catch you then.